You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church of Chicago. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
So, Psalm 20 this morning. And if you have a pew Bible and want to look at it, 456 is where you'll find that. Pardon me. And I don't have a fancy introduction to give today to you, except to say that as I've felt, thought through, prayed through where we should turn our attention in the scriptures to next, we're actually going to return to an area of the scripture that I think is helpful for all of us at various times. A while ago, I was preaching through the Psalms from the beginning, the collection of the Psalms, and I think my plan is to use that infrequently as just a good time to reorient ourselves towards communicating with God, remembering who God is and how to interact with Him. And I just honestly didn't have another passage or book of Scripture that I felt like needed to happen, and yet this is always grounding and assuring and helpful for us. And so for the foreseeable future, for now anyway, we'll plan to continue on looking at a psalm at a time. And sometimes it may take more than one week to get through a particular one, but a lot of them are a little on the short side. And so this week, I'd like us to look at chapter 20. That's Psalm 20. Technically, they're not chapters, right? They're all songs. So Psalm 20. And I've entitled it this way, Prayer, Preparing for Life's Storms. Little introduction and background here. The 20th Psalm is referred to as a royal psalm. And by that, it helps us know that we don't have a lot of information other than it says is written to David's choir master, and David said is the one that wrote it. So we know David's the king at the time. And it appears that the direction and the theme orients around their structure socially at the time. So here you have Israel, remember, used to be governed by the Lord directly, but at one point they wanted a king. And so God says, I'll give you a king. And he started still implementing his ways and his direction through the human king. Now, our political setup is not the same. We have to be careful a little bit about making one-for-one correlations here. But it helps us understand it's written in a national context for Israel here, with David being on the throne. So its themes relate to the promises that came to the kingdom, to David, and obviously have overtones into the fulfillment of all those promises ultimately in the person and life of Messiah, Jesus Christ. The setting, from some clues in the text, help us understand that David is likely facing danger due to the threat of war from neighboring nations. At some point, they had come into the land and established his capital or his throne in Jerusalem, and yet there were still the issues of surrounding bands, tribes, and countries that would initiate war. And so there's danger on the offing. There's the potential threat that something difficult and dangerous is happening. And so the structure falls to us this way then. The first five verses of the psalm are the people, the nation, the Israelites, praying on behalf of their king. So we see these things, these kind of blessing statements of may the Lord, may the name of the Lord, may he, the Lord, send you help, may he remember all your offerings, this kind of thing. And all of these things, when you look at it, are coming from the congregation or the people towards their leader, that all of their ideology and national structure were held up under the kingship here, and they were asking for God to bless him. And so that's how it happens in the first five verses. People praying for God's blessing on their king in spite of this threat. In verses 6 to 8, we see the king, David, expressing confidence in God. And then it finally closes again with the people praying for God's protection over their king. And if you read that ninth verse, you might see where that has been repeated through history. Oh Lord, save the king. So that we even have in England, at least, right? God save the queen, right? The leader. And that, where are they getting that from? Well, among other places, Psalm 20. So there it is, verses 1 to 5, people praying, verses 6 to 8, David talking, and then it closes again with the people praying for God's protection on their king, which forms this kind of inclusio of the people at the beginning of end. Now again, when we talk about the Psalms, we have to be careful. It is poetic, so we have to be a little gentle with how hard we look at figures of speech and the way language is set, because we can squeeze a metaphor in a direction it wasn't intended to go. But we get the gist by putting all of it together and pulling out several themes. And I just want to bring those to you this morning under the heading of prayer, preparing for life's storms. So the first thing that I want us to think about this morning about prayer that comes out of this psalm is this. Prayer is a resource for your trouble. Prayer, and we're assuming to God, is a resource for your trouble. Everybody understands life is going to have trouble, right? And so when we look at the psalm right here at the start, we see the people crying out this way, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. There's something happening soon that's not good. Verse 2, may the name of the God of Jacob protect you from what? Trouble, verse 1. Verse 2, may he send help from the sanctuary. Interestingly, and then from Zion, it's a parallel statement there. Sanctuary is the same root word for holiness in Hebrew. And it's in essence, they're calling out, from my place where I dwell, help your people. Help your king. Give support from Zion. So here's what's happening. We have danger there, and people looking at this, they have the possibility of war, and they are doing a very wise thing. They are talking to God about their trouble. So we could quickly pause for a moment of application and ask this. What kind of challenges, what kind of trouble, what kind of distress or danger are you in the midst of? Are you facing? What are the hard things that you're dealing with? Some, perhaps, are facing the discouragement of loneliness. Others face the pressures of a demanding work environment. Perhaps you're facing the trouble of feeling like you're never understood by God or anybody else. Trouble can come to us by way of our relationships, our work environment, many, many other avenues. But in these times of trouble that may be looming on the horizon, that we may be in the midst of, we must remember that prayer is a resource for us. So the question is, how do we naturally tend to handle our battles? How do we naturally tend to handle our trouble, our challenges? What do we naturally do? Well, to some degree, you've got to sit and look in the mirror at some time other than right now and be honest with yourself, right? I do too. But here's some options. Here's some that came to my mind. How do I naturally handle trouble? I worry about it, right? And I get down the road in my mind thinking about what's coming, and I try to think, what will happen if? What will happen when? What if this goes wrong? And what if this person does that? And before long, I've taken a lot of my mental time and energy, which is limited, and I've really wasted it. A couple years ago, Kirsten put a little decoration on the wall. Let's see how well I get this right. It says, worry about nothing, pray about everything. Or maybe it's pray about everything and worry about nothing. But that's the gist of it, right? I stare at it every morning. I still can't say it. But the point is, what do we naturally do? We worry about things, right? That's a natural way of handling that. And here's the people saying, we've got trouble coming and we're praying to God on behalf of our leader. You know, the other thing we tend to do is we start to scheming. So we think, and this is coordinated with worry, but we think things like, if this happens, then I'll do this. And if they say this, I'll say that. And before long, we're not really worried, but the scheming kind of comes towards us in the kind of, nobody's going to get one by me. Another one is perhaps, along with scheming, maybe another way to say it is fortifying. And you say, what are you talking about? We think something's happening, something dangerous is happening out there, something, a threat is imminent, and we start stockpiling resources and assets and equipment and all this kind of stuff because we know we got to be ready for every contingency. And all of a sudden, your home starts looking like an armory, right? There's nothing wrong with being prepared. Freeze-dried food. Okay? We can also respond with anger, responding out of frustration or self-protection. All these things are natural human responses to the threat of danger. And please understand, I don't even think, unless the Bible guides us towards some of these things that are wrong, I don't think it's wrong to be prepared. But I think it's wrong to not pray, is what the passage is telling us. So prayer is a more valuable resource than any of these other natural things that we turn to. So we have to ask ourselves a question. When facing trouble, how quickly do we turn to prayer? And I think I've mentioned this before, and it's okay with mentioning it again, but this is one of the many things that I appreciate about my wife. She'll often, we'll talk about something, and she'll say, why don't we pray? And I think, oh yeah. When you face trouble, when you sense danger that's closing in or some sort of distressing situation, when you look at that concept of trouble, which was interesting when I was even looking at the Hebrew text on this as well, the translations for the word trouble, there's various ones, and the context dictates trouble in a general sense. But it was talking about in a straight place, kind of a narrow, edgy kind of situation. And the other definition that shows up in a possible Hebrew usage is a rival wife. That won't fit here. But, you know, in certain contexts, you have, can you think about some trouble if you got a rival wife around? Okay, nobody's laughing. Okay. So anyway, that was just a little thing on the side. I said, Lord, no, that's not right. I can't do that. And I can share you what I was digging around on. So those are things. Prayer is a resource for your trouble. When facing a significant threat, David and his people turned to prayer. Have you seen God bless our assembly through a refocused effort to pray? Yes, he has. It's a wonderful resource, and I'm not saying nobody was praying before, but we just purpose to gather together to make that even a more significant priority for our assembly. And God recognizes that, and he calls it a resource, and we're wise to avail ourselves of it. This doesn't mean, when David and his people prayed, this doesn't mean that they didn't end up in a battle. Because what a lot of times my prayers also reveal is that I know little about God or what he can do with a hard situation. That's another step. But the first step is to recognize prayer is a resource and get after it. Let God help me learn how to pray after that. But here's the thing. Just because you pray doesn't mean that your trouble goes away. David had a battle. And next week we're going to see how they rejoice because it's coupled with Psalm 21 after the trouble passes. That's how these two are connected. Psalm 20 and 21. So this doesn't mean they didn't end up in a battle, but that they viewed prayer as necessary preparation for the battle that laid ahead. So I recognize all of us probably feel a little bit awkward with praying. So we ride a bike and we feel awkward until we learn how to ride a bike, right? So let's not spend a lot of time thinking about prayer as awkward, or I don't know what to say, or I'm not sure if I should pray with it. Don't worry, but just at least you talk to God. and say, ask him, do this, do what the disciples did and said, teach me how to pray. Then if you're saying, I'm not getting anywhere, then talk to somebody. What? How should I pray? I don't know. Then just keep reading the Psalms. And you know what? Just read that to God. That'll teach you how to pray because those are prayers. Just read one out loud to God when nobody's listening. Sometimes when they are listening, whatever you decide is fine. But here's what's going on. This prayer that the people do, they give us a good model to remember. Prayer is a resource for trouble. You see, in the several points to talk about now, your trouble is an opportunity to turn to God. And we've already talked about this already. Trouble has a very definite fork in the road for us. Trust in the Lord or lean to our own understanding. And too many times I take the lean to my own understanding option. But trouble is an opportunity for you and me to turn to God because God helps his people when they're in trouble. That's why verses 1 and 2 says that confidence that people talk to the one who can help. If you know that God will not help you, you are not motivated to ask for help. But these people are, there's 5 verses, there's more than half of the psalm of people crying out on behalf of their leader for they know for God to do something for him. You don't ask people for help that you know can't or won't help you. But our God, the God of the Bible, will. He will do that for you. Your trouble is an opportunity to turn to God. So what do you think God is doing sometimes with the trouble that you face? He's helping you realize you don't naturally look to me. Guilty. Somehow, with my limits, I still think I got this. So what does God do? He gives trouble to help Daryl turn to God. God helps his people who are in trouble. Those first 2 verses see this thing, in my time of distress, in my time of trouble, come and help me, God. God will protect you. He will send help from the sanctuary. He will give support from Zion. Secondly, not only is trouble an opportunity to turn to God, your life's choices reveal your devotion. What you choose to do reveals what you're devoted to. And God is aware that his people in this passage are devoted to him. Verses 3 and 4. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt offering and sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. What the psalmist is talking about here, the people noticed that while David obviously had trouble, he was not a perfect man, he had a habit of being devoted to God and offering what God called for at that time, sacrifices of devotion and offerings to him at the tabernacle and the temple. And this is an evidence of what he chose to do before the storm. So your devotion to God is what you choose to do every day of the week. And God sees that. God knows who's devoted to him. The people could see that their leader was devoted to God and setting a pattern for them to follow in devotion to God. May we as God's people set a pattern for other people to follow, not of some pious, proud look at me, but my life, as best I can, is following a pattern of being ruled by God, God's word. Third, your prayer's content is noted by God. Verse 5. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. What's happening? Even though the trouble hasn't arrived yet, really verse 5 is kind of the center of the whole psalm. Some of you poetry buffs or literary analysis buffs have heard of chiastic structure. And what this does in this psalm drives us right towards verse 5. There's so many things that we could talk about, not just about the form, but think about this, the content of their prayer. What all the things they ask of are not focused on make sure we don't have to have trouble. The focus is on God and who he is and what he can do. So he gets to verse 5, and their request is that they will be able to shout for joy over your salvation. And as we maybe come to terms with how that term salvation is used in the Bible, we're learning in our understanding that it's not always used in to reference that one time where you turn from your sins and put your trust in Christ, talking about your salvation experience. But it's also used sometimes in the Old Testament in a general sense to describe the rescue or deliverance that God provides. He saves you out of a tight spot. And so in that sense, what he's coming to us and saying, we want to be able to shout in joy over what you have done in rescuing and delivering from this thing. We want to be, in the name of our God, set up our banners. And at different times in the Old Testament, you'll see as they set up the tribes, they set up their tribes and put their banners. And they want God's name on their banners. They want to kind of wave the flag, so to speak, for the Lord. What's going on here? Your prayer's content is noticed by God. The essence of verse 5 is this, that God, in fact, has been and always will be concerned with his glory. You and I have life and breath so that we can bring glory to God. Okay? We are created for his glory. So, God is going to get glory from our lives. The question is whether or not we cooperate with that. And in the center of this psalm is this shout for joy over the rescuing, delivering God that who they delight in setting up over their lives, over their existence, the banner of the name of God. And what that helps us understand of all that is, in a sense, the totality of what God is. Is God just a name God? No, he's many more things like that. And when you study the scripture, you find many things that are true that can be attributed to him. That he calls himself, or how he acts, or what he does. And this is what's happening here. So, prayer is definitely a resource, and that's the one we took the most time on. The question is, what are we doing with that resource? Do we lean to how we navigate trouble? Or are we recognizing that the trouble comes means it's time for me to pray? You say, I don't know what it does. Well, obey God and pray, or be wise and pray and see what it does. Look back over your life and think carefully about when you pray. Is it a consistent thing that you do so that you have this, what is called a prayer walk with God? A time even where you have developed, this is when I pray. Or is prayer more or less generated by the tight spots of life? By the way, if you're praying during the tight spots of life, that's a good thing. So don't get it wrong, right? So I'm not hear me backwards. But the point is, as we grow, we're going to see things more clearly from God's perspective about all of life, which will drive us to be more prayerful about everything. Is your praying framed by a life of devotion to God? Or are you still tangled up in sinful, selfish choices that diminish your ability to be a good testimony for the Lord? And yet you'll pray when you're in a tight spot. Does your life bear the marks of devotion? When you pray, is it all about you? Or are you beginning to understand, like verse 5 is helping us, it's really about God and what his plan is, rather than you and your plan? So may your salvation come, and may the name of God set up, in the name of God may we set up our banners. We want to redound to the glory of God, our lives to bring glory to God in whatever way he chooses. I saw an interesting phrase this week, question regarding prayer. And it went this way. If your prayers were answered, would they change the world or just yours? I thought that was interesting. Because often in the heart of the prayer is just, God, help me where I'm at and what I'm dealing with and make these problems go away and do all that. And to some degree, if we got anything, we can talk to our Heavenly Father and he helps us. But as we grow, we recognize there's more to life than just me. And we need to get to the place where we pray, and if God answers our prayers, the world would change. Not just my little world. It's really probing how much you and I understand what God is doing in the world versus how much we think God should be doing for us in our own world. And what is on display there is our overall knowledge of God. Well, I've spent too much time on that, but let me just exhort you as brothers and sisters in Christ to remember that prayer is a gift and resource from God for you as you face the challenges of your life. Secondly, prayer is the source of confidence when you face trouble. Because look at verse 6. Now David gets into the act. His people have been praying for him. Now he says, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven." David's confidence from walking with God through the years, he's obviously faced some challenges before. And by the way, his life was full of challenges all the way through, sometimes because he lives just in a broken world like us, sometimes because of the sinful choices he made, sometimes of the sinful choices of others that have influenced his life. That's where our trouble comes from. It comes from within, it comes from around, and it comes from the whole cosmos. The whole thing has trouble because sin entered the world. It's not an easy life. It's not intended to be. It's a wonderful, joyful life with Jesus, but it's not always easy, right? Where do you get confidence in facing, leading your nation into battle? How can you be confident about this? How do you say, "I know the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand"? David knew something about a God who answers his prayer. David knows something about a God who rescues his people. You see, two key descriptions about the Lord in verse 6 are this, is when you talk to him, he listens. And when you are in distress, he delights with his mighty right arm. I'm really struggling with the Hebrew on that one too. I'm a lefty, you know, I'm kind of saying, what do I do with that? But he saves his anointed with that right hand is obviously the symbol of power and strength. That God gets involved powerfully to rescue the people that he loves. And by the way, he loves you. It's difficult to be confident in someone or someone that we don't know, that we're not familiar with, that we know little about. So what often happens to you and to me is that in the trouble, the pressure, the problems of life, these all start to look really big and we get really intimidated by them. That is a natural human response to big things. But what we also need to see is a God like David who saw, who is greater than the struggle you face. He's greater than the trouble looming on the horizon. He's greater than the challenges that you're dealing with. And David can look back because he has chosen to put his faith in Jesus, in God, and put his life's direction under the control of God. He's seen him from the time he was taking care of sheep, help him with lions and bears. He's seen him while he was anointed to be king, yet chased through the Judean wilderness by Saul to respond pretty well, given the circumstances. And even one time when he took a little bit of Saul's garment off, when Saul wasn't looking, he went back and apologized for that. The rest of us would have put the pike right through Saul and said, "I was supposed to be king anyway." And what is he seeing? He's seeing God change, modify him, calm him down, give him confidence, strength to endure, all these things. And so that he comes to the place, "I've got a battle. My heart is heavy. I don't want my people to be injured. I don't really want to mess with this." Perhaps we don't know the exact setting, but what I do know, God listens to me. He answers. What I do know is God delivers. What I do know is he has a powerful, mighty arm that's bigger than the trouble I'm facing. So whether the trouble in your life is what you've generated for yourself, whether the trouble in your life has come from other people that have generated trouble for you, whether the trouble you face deals with the fact that all of us live in a planet that is broken, that is waiting, groaning, waiting for the redemption that comes when God makes all things new. Wherever our trouble source is coming from, We can have confidence because of who's we're speaking to and who he is. Third, this morning, we'll be done maybe before 12 for once. Prayer, not only a resource for your trouble, prayer, the source of confidence when you're facing trouble. A last thing I'd like us to look at this morning, prayer, an evidence of who you trust. Prayer is an evidence of the object of your trust. Here's the verse that probably you already know. Verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. This again is David's words to us. And here's what happens. You display by your desire to pray of where your confidence or your trust resides. You see prayerfulness evidences an awareness of God. Prayerlessness evidences false confidence in my flesh. You see, it's natural to trust in what we can observe. And I would not suggest you ignore that, okay? It's natural to say, I can see the floor, I can feel the temperature in here, I know how to dress, I know where to walk, I don't want to walk. And some of us, when we've gotten new glasses, we have walked into corners of things that we didn't plan on, and then you think, what's that bruise doing? Oh, yeah. Okay? It's natural to trust what we can see, and that's a good thing. God helps us through this world with this. But and we don't want to diminish that in any way, but in a real sense, in a spiritual sense here, what David puts for us in verse 7 is this, is there are people of faith who still haven't learned to trust God. Oh yeah, please take care of me for eternity, but let me take care of right now. And we've referenced this from time to time. I'm sure you've heard other people say this the same. How silly is it, right? We put our trust in Christ for the eternal residence of our soul. But he can't help me with my family. He can't help me with my job. He can't help me with my neighbors. He can't help me with any of this stuff. He's not good at it. So I'm going to deal with that. Right? But I'm guilty of that as well. And that evidences people that need to grow in who they understanding who God is. So prayer evidences the object of our trust. It is natural to trust in what we can observe because some trust in horses and some in chariots. So when we go to war, which is what is happening in this psalm soon, there are people that are saying, all right, if we're going to beat them, can you call somebody up and get a couple more chariots made before we take off? Or we're going to have to go talk to some of the other tribes or some of our friends around here and get some more horses because we've heard these guys are really good. And by the way, you got any spears over there? And on it goes, thinking that the battle's going to be won because I have enough horses, chariots, and armaments. What God often does is, what do you have in your hand? Use it and trust me. So the second half of that verse, verse 7, goes this way. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. Verse 8, they collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. It's natural to trust in what you can observe. It is supernatural to trust in God. It's supernatural to trust in God. It is spiritually life-giving to trust in God. It is above and beyond what is natural to say, yeah, I understand. I don't want to be caught blind. I'll be prepared. But I'm not going to put my confidence in my preparation. My confidence is going to be on display because I will pray to God and put my faith in him. Even though all my bases aren't covered, yeah, you can't cover them all. The only bases you can cover is the ones you know about, and there are so many more. How foolish it is for us to put all of our trust and confidence in our contingency plans. By the way, have insurance. That's great, okay? Some of it's required by law, right? Not talking about being weird and never being prepared. I'm talking about in our psalm today, we're talking about what we rest in. How good are we when the money's tight? How good are we when the relationships seem frayed? How confident and how prayerful are we in these situations? You see, this psalm, out of all the things he's doing, as this country is facing a difficult time, we're learning some important things about prayer, what prepares us for the storms of life. So have you ever had trouble or problems, trials in your life? How well did you do? Well, I'll swap the need improvement stories with you. So we don't want to walk out of here today thinking, I can never do it. If we heard from God the right way, what we want to hear is, I probably need to improve. And if I look at this psalm, I'm recognizing, you know what, there are times where actually my confidence in my own abilities are on display more than my trust in the Lord is on display. How well do you handle problems in your life? So verse 8 gives us a testimony of God's people handling the trouble well. It says that those who only trust in what they see, they collapse and fall. But those who trust in the Lord rise and stand upright. And again, if you read the Psalms a lot of time, you hear about this, some of the Psalms we've worked on, their foot will never stumble, their feet will not be shaken. It's the imagery of just being able to stand on your own two feet. And some of us have had days when that's not been too easy, right? You talk about when your back's hurt and how well you want to stand up and how gimpy you feel. It's an image here of how people are able to be on their feet. You and I are on our feet, spiritually speaking, when we're metaphorically on our knees in prayer to God. The idea at the end of verse 8 is triumph over defeat. How do we get there? It has to do with the location of our trust, evidenced by how we pray. So do you have confidence in your own plans, in your own resources? Or do you and I demonstrate that we are confident in this powerful, rescuing, prayer-answering God? Preparing for the storms ahead means you need to spend time in prayer talking to God. Father, we thank you for the word today. Thank you for Psalm 20. There are some intricacies in this psalm that we didn't really consider this morning. But we do call out to you as we look at the general setting of what was happening. People probably soon to face hardship, pouring out confidence in their God. Oh God, help us to see prayer as a resource. So help us, Lord, to pray. Teach us what trouble should drive us toward. Father, in all of this, help us to understand that our confidence comes from you. That our prayer life evidences who we really trust in. And I pray, Lord, for your name's sake, God's people would be encouraged today to prepare for what is ahead by praying. So God, help us to pray these psalms. Help us to talk to you. Help us to do what you say and put our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast from Bethany. Join us for Sunday worship at 3532 South Point Avenue in Chicago. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.